We come and listen and support it.
Une fois que t'as senti l'âme, tu t'allonges sur ton dos.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Thank you. Very
oh, wait a minute. You're on two. Sorry.
I'm on two.
There we go. Okay.
I'm on two.
There you go.
Am I on?
You are on. So.
Turn me on, dead man.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay, actually.
Are
and,
you? Good.
Part of it is I want to thank the Minions. How many people called in last
week? We had 28 people call
28.
Last week.
28. Wow. And
we haven't done a call-in show in about 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. And they weren't, only half of them were high, so that was good. better than usual. No, it was wonderful. And, you know, we had one person, I couldn't tell if they were mocking us or not, but, you know, more power to you. The other people, they weren't crying. They were saying, how can you save your sanity and what's next and so on. And I wrote down a few of the things that people said. Some people gave a pretty straightforward advice. If you want to do something, volunteer, get politically involved. You know, a lot of politics happens below the levels of presidential elections. And so get into that. Compliment people. I thought that was interesting. Two different people said that. It's like just randomly provide support for people that maybe you don't know. Just, you know, hey, like that hat or something. I don't know. Some people were talking about things that distract you, like punk rock. That can really get you kind of going. Horror movies. There's bound to be something worse than what's going on right now, even if it's only imaginary. Coloring books. I thought that was kind of nice. Beekeeping. Drinking lots of beer. After all, it is Wisconsin. Sniffing glue. you might want to break out the I Miss Nixon stickers. Put one on your car. So lots of good stuff. Got to thank the listeners.
Afterwards, we got an email at melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com from our pal Helena.
Yeah.
And she said that she's at work on Friday, so she couldn't call in, but so she was listening after the fact, and she said that, she says, I refuse to let Trump depress me, so I plan to do two things, engage in activities that bring me joy, so like yes. Making art, riding my bike, playing great world music, and she said she's going to pick two volunteer activities that'll resist Trump's agenda, like protesting the genocide in Gaza and working on climate change.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. So. Excellent. So I guess it's kind of useless for us to talk about the crazy appointments that he made. I always feel like I was talking with a companion about this. You know, maybe we should make this like a no Trump zone in a way. You know, because the thing is, he bedazzles everybody with his BS, and that's what's going on with these appointments.
Oh, it's just a fire hose of garbage.
Yeah. I mean, what will happen is,
there,
yeah,
but.
Exactly. Liquid
garbage.
I had a pretty vivid picture when you said that. I don't know. I don't think it's mixed at all.
Liquid sewage or
yeah,
something.
It's flying right out of there. I mean, so if you know, the talking head from Fox doesn't get his job and.
Yeah.
And you know, and maybe the serial molester doesn't get his job. Worm brain and the Russian spy will get
Natasha.
Theirs.
You know?
Boris and Natasha, yes, right. Yes, darling.
Russia, there was some official statement about Tulsi Gabbard, and they called her our girl.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
And you never know how much of this is, you know, disinformation, but still, it's not a good sign when they're calling your intelligence chief, our girl.
So. Yeah, well, Putin's been pleasuring himself for the last week and a half, so I mean, I'm sure he's very happy with how things are turning out.
We did have a caller, or I think it was a listener yesterday, yeah, talking to Ruby.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to know if we think that Matt Gaetz will uphold the Mann Act.
That's two N's, by the way.
It is.
Yep.
So.
Yes, I'm familiar with the Mann Act.
Yeah. What is the Mann Act?
You can't take minors across state lines for the purposes of perversion or whatever, which I think that's just his daily thing, right? I mean, so yeah, I mean, he was on the plane with Trump, and he probably said, hey, that report's coming out on Friday. You going to give me a job? And Trump said, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the most likely scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And so he resigned his position. Which is the doggy style position he has in Congress. At any rate.
That reminds me, I don't mind appointing Kristi Noem as the Homeland Security person.
Because, oh, really?
Because think about this. We're eventually, before too long, we're going to degenerate into a Mad Max scenario.
Okay.
And there will be roving packs of rabid dogs.
Yeah.
And she can protect us from those.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So, that's what it's all about. But I had a less savory thought, but when I mean, she's used to shooting things without mercy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, oh, I think that was
not to be a downer. But
that was like one of those, like when you go to a job interview and they have you do like some practical work, like if you're a programmer, they have you do a little program and see what your skills are like. That's what it was for her.
Yeah.
So,
so both Dakotas, both North and South Dakota.
There's two of those?
Yeah, there's two.
Why?
Well, they left out East and West Dakota. I don't know why. They try to subdivide the areas that are super rural and white into as many tiny districts as they can for some strange. I mean, why is there a Wyoming and a North Dakota?
By Northwest Dakota.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's two more senators, that's why. But the governor of North Dakota got a job, too. So, I mean,
What did he get?
He got, I think it was agriculture.
Oh, really?
I don't remember for sure.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he got a job too. Purportedly. I mean, I don't,
You
know, it's hard to know what's going to happen. But I mean, that's Trump's desire. So let the heavens and earth move to satisfy the Lord. So there's the Dakotas are like rudderless right now. I don't no idea who their lieutenant governors are, but
my favorite fact about Kristi Noem is that none of the tribes in South Dakota will let her on their property.
Nope.
She's been so ridiculously
she's toxic.
Toxic to them. And no, they said, you can't, we're closed here.
Yeah. We're closed. Yeah, exactly. By the way, I just want to point out to people, again, this is, I'm sure many of our listeners who relatively well-informed folks know this, but this pushing the no button on every political party that's in power is two more just this week. We had the German electorate, basically, there's another election coming in Germany now. There's the Irish government fell, and there's a new election in Ireland that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, very soon, in the very near future, the assumption is that the Liberals in Canada will also face a very difficult election season. So people are rejecting whoever's in power, no matter what their political convictions, apparently, right now, all over the so-called Western world. So.
Yeah. Well, they're not fixing everything.
Fix it now. Fix it faster.
Fix it now. Make it better. Make my life perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, the price of eggs went up a quarter? You're out.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm sympathetic with the concern. The diagnosis that there's something wrong with how our economies are evolving is something that you and I agree on 100%. But the cure, it's like, I have a splinter in my hand. All right, cut your arm off. That doesn't seem like the right answer.
Prices are too high for the working class people. Well, Elon Musk will fix that.
Because there's a guy that cares about the working class. From a sort of, maybe soylent green point of view.
Everybody has value.
Everybody has value. Yeah, exactly. So, the multi-billionaires. Yeah. That's where we're going to be going.
So he's in charge of this. It's not really a department, but this shows that what they're doing. They just call it a department.
Yeah.
Department of...
it's all circus.
Of government efficiency, which is just an acronym they wanted because that's a name for some cryptocurrency.
Yeah, the Doge, yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So...
It was the title of the chief executive of the Republic of Venice. It just means Duke, Doge does.
And oh, okay.
D-O-G-E.
Yeah. I thought it was a dog thing. No, they have a dog.
Dog E.
Just saying dog.
I thought it was some kind of secret authoritarian thing. Well, of course, because I see that everywhere.
Well, that could be.
I mean, it's cognate with Duce, which is what, of course, Mussolini called himself.
It's like when the Mind Pillow guy cut the prices of his pillows to $14.88, and then when he got called on, he goes, "What? Oh, you're crazy."
Means nothing, absolutely nothing.
So, but. I know this is a shock, but the stock price of all the big pharmaceutical companies dropped today for some reason. But the price of brain worms went way up and roadkill.
Potions are us coming to you in a mall very
poultice.
Soon. Yeah, poultice. The leech stock went through the roof, though. That guy's scary. He really is scary. I mean, he wants to, you know, a country that recently did what he wants to do with fluoride is Israel. Israel has a very, as many people know, has a very virulent right wing, religiously motivated right wing movement there. And they wanted to get rid of fluoride in the water. So it was done. And immediately there was a spike in dental problems for toddlers and young children because that's a huge protection for children in terms of their development of their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that won't stop brainworms. So
yeah. So well, because he's doing his own research on
aren't we all
QAnon or someplace? <Yeah. laughs>
That's the thing. I want to make a bet with you on this one, Mel. Like, how fast will the QAnon or something comparable have to get going? Because QAnon, if you think about it, was only created because there were no actual achievements of the Trump administration. Right?
Yeah.
They weren't building the wall. They weren't solving all these problems, right? So there had to be something that got created to create fake victories, you know? It's like, behind the scenes, he's stopping the baby-eating Democrats or whatever. So they're going to have to, at some point, after it screws up for about a year and a half, they're going to have to create some fake victories for him. How fast will the next iteration of QAnon get going? I think we should take bets on that one.
You know, I was thinking about the show a few days ago, and one thing I was going to lay out there, I was going to make a bold prediction.
Okay.
Then I was going to say that before too long, we will hear serious talk about Trump running for a third term.
Oh, yeah.
And they did it, like on Wednesday. Trump started floating the ideas. I mean, he floated it when he was in his first term, even.
Yeah.
But he was saying, well, you know, I've only got, you know, this is my last term, unless I do such a great job that you all, you know, demand that I serve another term.
Yeah.
And I know what they'll do. I know they'll try to drag it into the courts, and they'll argue that the 22nd Amendment only applies to consecutive terms.
Oh.
And
That's a very good point. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, so maybe they haven't either. I'm sure they have, but not to give them any ideas. But
well, from your mouth to Satan's ear.
Well, and that would be enough for the Supreme Court to hang their hat on and go, oh, you know, that's how it was really intended.
Oh, good
when
Lord.
We didn't want,
I thought that was just so right out because it's so hard to amend our Constitution. But
they would just ignore it.
They would just look at the text and they would say, oh, well, there's no... Yeah. It's unclear whether they meant this or that.
Right.
You know,
right.
That this is their originalism. They don't believe in originalism anymore, by the way. They believe in, what is it called, textual something or other. They now just like, I mean, this is how Scalia rewrote the Second Amendment. He said, well, I don't care what they were talking about or what they thought it meant or what how it's been interpreted through the entire history of the United States up till now. When I just read it, it looks like that. It's like, what are you, a fundamentalist preacher? Like, it just it happens to occur to me.
According to the Salem witch trial transcripts.
Yeah, oh, God.
So, no, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not sure Trump will make it another 4 years, but if he's breathing at, you know, 3 years from now, I think there'll be a serious push to
we'll see
to
what
ignore
happens.
That. So
I'm really, you know, I am right now, what is descending upon me, Mel, is the giant cloud of unknowing.
Yeah.
We have no idea what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
They could overplay this tremendously or it could be terrible.
Right.
And again, I don't think they're, to me, as far as I can tell, the only actual ideological goal they have is an unrestrained hyper-capitalist hellscape. I mean, in terms of the other stuff, he's willing to jettison, like, the abortion thing. He's willing to jettison, I mean, whatever's not popular. But he wants to placate and suckle at the teat of his billionaire friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, that he's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he has no real philosophy or beliefs beyond himself.
Yeah.
But people like Stephen Miller and Bannon, they do. They, you know, I mean, Miller is he's a white supremacist.
Yeah,
and he will revel in setting up, you know, concentration camps.
Yeah.
And
Trump's just the clown. He's just the salesman. Yeah, come on in, see the mermaid. I mean, that's all he's good for.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, if he finds, I mean,
is there a mermaid?
Come see the mermaid. See the mermaid. There's no mermaid here. I didn't say there was a mermaid. I said you'd see a mermaid. That's very different. It's all your fault for not seeing it. That's the problem. Speaking of some of the wackier stuff on the right in the United States, if you want to know the playbook, just look at what they're doing in good old Mother Russia. I don't know if you saw this, but on Tuesday, the State Duma, that's the lower house of the Russian parliament, voted to ban the advocacy of child-free lifestyles. I don't know a single person in the world, married or unmarried, with children or not, who hasn't entertained the concept of a child-free lifestyle. But apparently this is...
Especially when your child is crying at 3 a.m.
Exactly,
they won't shut up.
Yes. The unanimously approved a bill that would ban, quote, and of course here's the slippery part, propaganda promoting the idea of not having children. And this would include material on the internet, in the news media, in movies and in advertising. Remember the late, great Irma Bombeck? I think she probably would have been... Do you remember Irma Bombeck?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was often complaining about what it's like to be a wife and a mother, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
this probably would have been... She would have been in a prison in the Arctic if she'd been living in Russia right now. The bill's been endorsed by the Kremlin, and it's expected to receive approval from their upper house. It's called the Federation Council. And then, of course, be signed into law by the president, Vladimir Putin. Basically, one of the big problems right now in Russia is it's a contracting society, like many. The birth rate is not very high. And, and actually age of when people die is very low there. So life expectancy. Very low, yeah. So they need something to adjust the birth rates. So, of course, yelling at people and criminalizing people who don't get with the program is how you start that process. So, all hail.
Your comment about how they were going to ban propaganda.
Yeah.
Reminded me, there was a bill in the House this week. It failed, but it was a weird thing where they needed 2/3. So it must have been like something along the lines of a recess thing. But anyway, it was something that would allow stricter enforcement of nonprofits that are deemed to be aiding and abetting terrorism.
Ah, okay.
And like 52 Democrats voted for it, and which is kind of scary. Because I mean,
this is probably the Gaza thing. Is probably what.
Probably, yeah. But when things like that get passed, it's such a blank slate.
Yeah.
You know that you can say, you know, and they and we know that they selectively enforce laws like that.
Sure.
And with the lawless people that that are going to be, you know, in Washington now, running the executive branch and the Congress.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
the whole kit and caboodle.
They would just, you know, they could pick and choose and say, oh, this you know, lefty organization here, they're helping the terrorists.
Yeah, well, helping, isn't that the question? What gets to count as helping?
Yeah, well, again, that's also vague, and it can lead to, as I say, selective enforcement. So.
I don't know if you heard, but Secretary of State, the current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, he was in at NATO headquarters on Wednesday, and he was like, "We're really sorry, really, really, really sorry, sorry, you guys."
What can I say? Marco Rubio is going to be the Secretary of State, which means there's an opening in the Senate from Florida, and DeSantis gets to appoint the person, and there are rumors he's going to appoint his wife.
Oh, his wife?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to
appoint... Oh, no, Laura Trump.
Laura Trump.
Laura
yeah.
Trump. Well, there were rumors that he was going to appoint Casey DeSantis, it's sort of coalesced into Laura Trump now.
So. I think Melania would be perfect for that.
I know this will shock you.
Yeah.
It came out this week that Melania is not going to live in the White House.
Yes, I heard that. And you know what I thought of was the famous Bette Davis. All the great drag performers that did Bette Davis always did that line from one of her movies where she comes in, she goes, "What a dump." And I thought, that's what Melania thinks when she walked in there. What a dump. It's tiny compared to, I mean, you go to the Élysée Palace in France and see where the president of France lives, or you go to even to the Belvedere Palace in Berlin where the German president lives, and it's kind of a dump. I get it. She's not. Well, this is not chic. The White House is not a chic place to live.
We'll get some prison labor to fix it up. Pretty
soon. That's how we built it. So yeah.
That's what I mean.
Slavery, you know.
I was reading this morning actually about William Henry Harrison, and
he died in 30 days.
He died in 30 days, and the thing that everybody quote knows as a fact is that he got sick from his long inaugural address.
Yeah.
But there are theories that that he was fine after that. He was fine for a while. There are theories that the water in the White House killed him.
Yeah.
Because he was a teetotaler.
Yeah.
And the water was really bad then. It was coming out of, they were just pulling it out of the swamp pretty much. And
DC was a swamp.
Yeah. So you know, people, these like forensic archaeologists have this theory now that that he died because of the crappy water in the White House.
Literally.
And Polk also, they think he might have died because of the bad water.
Oh, wow. So that really does put a different spin on things. Well, you know,
it's infrastructure week here.
John Quincy Adams, he did something that was unusual in those days, which he would take a swim every morning.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, in the Potomac River.
Yeah,
and that was, I mean, that's different, obviously, because he's not drinking it directly in. But
you do drink.
But you get a little water in your mouth when you do that. But those Adamses were pretty stalwart.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that would bother an Adams.
Yeah, yeah.
But at any rate. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Gomez did that, too.
Gomez,
it was no big deal for him.
You know, it's funny. Somebody said horror movies, and I immediately went home that last week after we went out for a while and hung out. I went home and watched some clips on YouTube of the Addams Family movies. There's one where she's talking, where Morticia is talking to Uncle Fester, and they're walking through the graveyard where the ancestral mounds are, and she says that she's talking about the Addams Family motto, which is, We would gladly consume those who would oppose us. And then she looks at Fester and she says, "Not just a lot of pretty words." Like, yes.
That would be nice in Latin. That would be nice little put on a coat of arms or something. So. I once interviewed the...
Gorgiamos, we would eat.
There we go. I once interviewed the... what today we would call the showrunner for the Addams Family, a guy named David Levy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a writer on some of the Marx Brothers movies.
Oh, nice.
And I asked, you know, it was kind of an obvious question, but I asked him if the John Astin Gomez was sort of based on Groucho, and he confirmed that it was.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah. So, excellent.
So, But the real news of the week, we've been kind of dancing around this, but
okay.
Involves Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a hearing this week on UFOs.
Yes.
And
did she reveal her alien identity?
No, but yeah. but she took it in a little different direction. She said she's been hearing theories about
theories. Why? They don't even get to say that.
Theories about non-human civilizations underwater.
Ah, yeah.
She said the American people are being kept in the dark. And then she said there's rumors that have come up to the Hill of a secretive project within the Department of Defense involving the manipulation of human genetics with what is described as non-human genetic material. Well, she knows about genetic material for the enhancement of human capabilities. Yeah, hybrids.
She's had her hands on it.
Are any of you familiar with that? Yes or no? And all of the experts said they were not familiar with that for some reason.
If I had been one of the experts, I would have said, you know, I loved H.P. Lovecraft when I was 17. You might want to get over that, lady.
There's a shaft of light coming up out of the ocean.
It's the Jewish space laser.
It was being guarded by a sea creature. I believe this light killed three men.
Into uncharted secret coves hidden beneath the sea's surface go the daredevil hunters of the deep, searching out the mystery of sudden death, the secrets of the Phantom from 10,000 Leagues, starring Kent Taylor.
Kent.
Lovely Kathy Downs.
Oh, she's lovely.
And Michael Whalen.
Also lovely.
As the Beaver.
A scientific web of terror involving secret death rays.
Oh, Jewish space lasers. Told you.
Will stop at nothing to obtain.
Almost like it was burned by an atomic flash. Fisherman, too.
Man bait. A luscious blonde too tantalizing for the weak to resist.
I didn't know then they could put beauty and poison so cleverly together in one package.
Man bait.
But the shadow of the Phantom Death does not stop daring underwater adventures while a man of science probes the unknown for the answer to the Phantom from 10,000 Leagues.
That's a turtle.
Don't miss the Phantom from 10,000 Leagues.
Yeah, those are the rumors I've been hearing about.
You know,
about
the scientific web of terror is my favorite kind of web of terror. Just some sloppy old web of terror. No, a scientific one. You know, that was
that's when you do your terror and then you examine it and see if it turned turn out the way you expected.
My mother used to, I still remember that from my mother when I was a kid, she used to say, "Let's be scientific about this," meaning let's be, you know, sensible about it. I still think that scientific web of terror is nice. While you were playing that, by the way, Clopsy had a very odd expression on his face. I don't sure he was gonna. It's like all the explosions were sort of.
He's a little nervous today.
We're all a little nervous,
yeah,
Clopsy.
Yeah, he has to sit in my lap today. Normally he sits at my feet, but he's at my lap today. But he's very cute. He got a haircut a couple days ago.
He does.
And they always put a little bandana on him, and this bandana has turkeys on it.
So. Oh, look at that.
Isn't that cute?
That is adorable.
Yeah, he's my bud.
Oh, we should let people know that Clopsy's in the studio.
Yeah.
In case you can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Clopsy is Mel's adorable little dog.
Yeah.
And he's called Clopsy because he has one eye.
Right. So.
And he's looking at me very balefully with it, like, don't do anything odd over there, person.
He doesn't like, he's kind of afraid of people. But
sweet, he's perfect
but
for
once,
the show.
Once he gets acclimated to you, he likes you. But he likes you. And he loves the jaguar, though, the real jaguar.
That's because of his odor.
Yeah, I think so.
It's an earthy smell. Dogs love that.
chews on his leg a little
bit. Yeah, he does. It's a tiny
bit. Well, no, he likes cats. We've got a cat, and he likes...
Does he really? That's
interesting. Yeah, so I think he likes the jaguar, because he's a cat.
Yeah, because he's a cat. That makes sense.
So the other big news this week is that The Onion bought InfoWars.
Wasn't that wonderful? I was taking a walk and this morning, and there were three young dads who were walking their babies in a phalanx. Because, you know, if you're going to do dad care, you got to do it in a dad way, right? So they weren't just like walking their babies individually, you know, on their little baby carriages.
They had a formation.
There was a phalanx of dads. Yes, exactly. But one of them was saying to the other one, and I had to laugh. He's saying, "When I heard this, I thought it was an Onion joke."
Oh, everybody did. Yeah. And they partnered with some of the Sandy Hook parents too, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
So, but then Fox News was covering it, and the Fox News just took the information right from the Onion's website, and they described the Onion as having 4.3 trillion daily readers.
Oh, Fox.
Fox News, America's most trusted news source.
Yeah. Well, it probably is, but unjustifiably.
Oh, God. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WRTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put all these shows up in the archives page. You could be listening on a podcast thanks to Mindless Minion D Cubed, who does all the file management. Or you might just be listening through the worm in your brain because we've got that technology now too.
Wow. So.
All right, we're gonna take a brief break and come back with, I don't know, you got anything good?
I've got a bunch of just little stories about this and that have absolutely nothing to do with politics.
Yeah,
would you mind if I did those?
No, me too. I'm still not quite ready to jump back in the cesspool there. Yeah. But
I will just make one comment, and we all know this. There was a lovely... So Eric Hovde, of course, is like being true to himself and saying that, you know, it was all rigged.
Fraud, right.
But the New York Times actually ran an article which went through and looked at each claim and the facts that responded to it. And our local paper, the Wisconsin State Journal, did exactly the same thing, showing that for each of the accusations that he's making, there's a very obvious, clear resolution of what the problem was, if there was a problem.
I know a lot of people say this, but we might as well throw this out there too. But the people who work the polls on the day are just saints. I mean, they work long days. It's hard. People are crabby to them, and they get paid a tiny bit, but I mean, not much. And so, I mean, just wanted to say a thank you to all those people who make that possible.
Amen.
So, all right, we're going to take a brief break and play some announcements, and we'll come back and maybe, I don't know, Klopsy can host the rest of the show here.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Union Cab of Madison. Union Cab is seeking drivers to join their member-owned collective, formed in 1979. Those interested in a position with flexible scheduling, benefits, and a democratic employee-owned work environment can find more information at unioncab.com or by calling 608-242-2000.
Bye.
And we're back.
Hey, just want to issue a couple of announcements that you may have seen but may not have seen. And one is from the city of Madison. Friday marks the beginning of Madison's winter parking rules, which are known as alternate side parking. And alternate side parking, I'm not sure there's going to be much plowing this year, but we'll see. But that's basically to assist plowing, so there's enough room to do it. So
there's always plowing.
Drivers outside of the central city must park on the odd-numbered side of the streets on odd-number days between 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. every day of the week. And on the even-numbered side of the street on even-numbered days. So that's how it works. The rules are in effect from November 15th until March 15th, and they don't apply to streets where parking is already restricted. And then another announcement I just want to share with the folks. This is, those of you who are listening somewhere else, you can just ignore this part. Wisconsin health officials are asking residents to please, please, please get vaccinated. Mostly against the flu, because the annual flu season is surging, but also some of the other diseases that are, you know, around this time of year, including COVID-19 and RSV. And so far, 21.7% of people have received an annual flu shot, and 10.5% have had an updated COVID-19. But they would really like you to try to get a vaccination for these. And remember, it's not just about you. You're helping other people out, too.
Herd immunity thing.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be responsible for somebody else getting flu or COVID, especially if you're, you know, if you're a younger person and you're kind enough to hang out with people that are older, you know, you might be damaging them in some way, and you wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
Grandma needs to be safe. Hey, they found the earliest dinosaur. This is
really,
really amazing. Yes. this was... let's see, who discovered this?
Chuck Grassley?
this was found in Brazil. Yeah, Chuck Grassley. I love the fact that when I asked him about the appointments of these various people to positions that they're going to have to look at, including the attorney general position, he basically just stared off into the distance. He didn't have any idea what to say. But apparently the earliest dinosaur that they can find was a... it was about the size of a dog today. It's about
really?
The size of a greyhound. It had a long neck and a tail and a small little beak. It looked a lot like an early dinosaur, of course, but this is the earliest one they found so far. This is
wow.
It's called Gondwanax, I'm not going to pronounce this right, parisensis. And it's, again, it's the earliest one they've ever found. Since the 1800s, most paleontologists have agreed that all dinosaurs share a common ancestor that emerged about 200 to 250 million years ago. And so now they're starting to find what some of these guys might have looked like. So this is the earliest one they found so far. They found it down in Brazil. And it was the new study that was done was by a guy by the name of Rodrigo Mueller, who is a paleontologist down in Brazil. So they found that... the earliest so far dinosaur.
Oh, very
cool.
It was
about the size of a dog. So bigness obviously came later.
Yeah. Did it have feathers?
I don't know. They don't know that. They do know it had a beak, though.
Yeah.
So it might have had feathers.
Okay.
So
had to wet its beak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and on a related note, I saw a story this week as well about cicadas. You know, cicadas are something that we see as being, very numerous, of course, when they come out in their big cohorts. But it turns out that earlier on, as far as we can tell, cicadas were not quite so numerous. They did not have these giant, efflorescences that they do now. And it's basically a great example of the sort of arms race between birds that started to evolve during the Jurassic period. So cicadas living in the Jurassic period, and they're just kind of like getting it done and no problem. And then birds start to become big competitors. And what happened is that they started to eat up the cicadas. So as a result, as far as we can tell, the cicadas evolved sleeker and more powerful wings and came up with this, what they call air race. This is according to this scientist, Chunpeng Xu, is a scientist in China, the lead author of the study. He said basically it was they overwhelmed the number of birds by just breeding to have just giant numbers.
Wow.
So that's the... That was their way of making sure that birds didn't end the cicadas. It's just have lots more cicadas.
It's amazing how pretty much every living thing that we know of has this intense desire to continue the species, to reproduce in some way or to
survive.
Well,
the ones that didn't aren't around.
good point.
that's the whole purpose of evolution is nothing but just culling.
Yeah.
Like all the things that aren't making it, they didn't hang around.
Yeah. It's like the junior high basketball team.
It's exactly like that.
No. Mel, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you get picked last? I don't think you would have gotten picked last.
Not exactly.
Middle?
Yeah. I wasn't like a great athlete. I did like playing basketball, but it turned out I was terrible at it. Yeah. Like in seventh grade, I was actually on the basketball team. Yeah. It's the only time I ever went out for any official thing.
Sure.
And I was like, a deep scrub.
Yeah.
And our one time when there was one game when we were like way ahead and our coach put all of us scrubs in. And then he went outside to have a cigarette.
Yeah.
as high school or junior high teachers did a lot.
Back in the day, that was their thing.
But we were so bad, we couldn't even get the ball inbounds because they kept their good players in.
Yeah.
And we'd throw it in and they would steal the ball and score a basket. Yeah. And then we'd throw it in again. They'd steal the ball and score a basket. And,
Sure.
And by the time he came back in, it was like a really close game. And I just still remember his face turning so red. And he's just screaming, like, "What are you doing?" And he had to yank us all out and put the starters back in to salvage the win.
I think it was sports, actually, that made me realize, I'm a comedian. Because I was terrible at it. But I remember being able to make boys laugh.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Well, that's in the locker room.
Yeah, though. Well, no. Yeah. Not at that age.
Oh.
I was like about 10 or so, 9 or 10. But I do remember, I of course, I didn't realize I was nearsighted. I was constantly being hit in the face with the ball when I was playing baseball. And I remember...
Some things never change.
And I remember one time saying, if I only could have a... if they only made gloves that could fit over your face, I'd be all set. And all the boys thought that was hysterically funny. And I thought, that's the way to work this, It's just come up with funny things
Speaking
to say.
Of survival tactics.
Yeah, survival, there you go. And here I am today.
Smart ass.
Smart ass, exactly. So.
Four Los Angeles area residents filed an insurance claim, or several insurance claims, saying that there was a bear that attacked their cars and scratched them all up and ruined them, and they wanted to get a settlement from the insurance company. And they even had some video,
the bear.
Everybody's, of the bear attacking the car and stuff. Yeah. And they showed it to the insurance company. But it turned out that the bear was a person in a bear suit. It was an insurance scam.
Oh, man.
And so they've arrested these four guys. I just picture them.
It's like something from a movie.
I just picture them cooking this up over about,
I know what we'll do.
18 beers, and then they come up with this brilliant idea.
Man.
And somebody probably dressed up as a bear for Halloween or
sure,
something.
Yeah.
And it's like, they'll never know.
Oh, wow. Hey, they found the world's tiniest toad.
Really?
It's so tiny that it's called a flea toad. It's 6.95 tiny millimeters in length. It could fit on the fit onto your fingertip. It's actually smaller than several species of ant.
Oh my God.
But it's just actually a very, very small toad. It's so it was recently discovered again in Brazil. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Brazil apparently. But it's one of the smallest known vertebrates on Earth. It's probably kind of like the lower level of how small things can get. So this is a herpetologist at the University of Campinas in Brazil by the name of Luis Felipe Toledo. He and a colleague described the frog in a recent study in the journal PeerJ. And he said he got a first hint about the tiny frog when a colleague shared several audio recordings of miniature frog species. So he's listening and he was like, wait, that's not the species you think it is. There's another one in there that's singing too. Because this guy, basically, a good old our friend, good old Luis, he knows Toad Song.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, no, that's something else. So he looked around and looked around, and he finally found it. And they've called them flea toadlets. Because these toads are so small, some different species look very similar, and you can't tell by looking. You got to look really close. But the best way to tell is how they sing, how they do their little croaking. And they have actually different sounds. Some people listen to it, they think, because, of course, it's tiny, so it sounds very high. They think it's a cricket, but it's not. It's a toad.
Wow.
So this makes it the seventh flea toad species known to science and the second smallest vertebrate species on the planet. And so that's pretty amazing. There's the other tiny vertebrate is another kind of thing in that same family. It's a kind of frog. So, and it's in New Guinea. It's the Amau frog. It's 7 millimeters long. So it's pretty amazing stuff when you think about it.
Yeah. But wow. if you kiss one, it turns into a tiny prince. So.
Very tiny.
There's a joke that this frog says to a princess,
yeah.
if you kiss me, I'll turn into a prince. And she says, screw that, a talking frog's worth a hell of a lot of money.
That's a woman with a head on her shoulders. Yeah.
I don't need a man. I got a talking frog I can frog. Monetize.
Yes, right.
But so people are getting more bored, according to research.
What'd you say?
They're getting more. Pay attention here.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So this is it was in Communication Psychology. It's a new study. It says digital media may actually contribute to higher levels of boredom.
Oh, you bet.
They argue that the structure and nature of digital media may heighten feelings of boredom. That draws on existing empirical research. They explore how digital media might be shaping people's expectations for engagement, fragmenting attention, and reducing a sense of meaning in daily lives.
Yeah, I couldn't quite get to the end of what you said there, Mel.
Yeah. That was a long sentence. There were like eight or nine words in there.
It was almost 30 seconds.
Could create a cycle where people increasingly turn to digital devices to alleviate boredom,
yeah.
only to find themselves feeling less satisfied and more prone to boredom
over
time.
Just watch a movie. Watch a movie that was made in, like, I don't know, the 70s or something. I mean, you'll be just like, come on, what's going on? Why do they keep showing that?
Why are they talking so much?
What is the deal? Snap it up.
But that makes sense because you it's kind of the saturation, you know. Yeah. It's like I expect to be constantly entertained.
We're resetting the basic settings for ourselves.
And I'll see things online on like Reddit or something where younger people will say, "Well, what did you people do back in the 70s and 80s before there was the internet? You know, how did you entertain yourself?" And it's like, "Well, they gave us a piece of wood with a rubber band and a ball on it and said, play with this for 8 hours.
Well, people did things like, you know, drink a lot and ride their bikes and have sex and things like that. You know, like, I mean, there were lots of things to do, as I seem to remember. I didn't even have a television for 10 years.
Right.
You know, I mean, just kind of like back when television was the brain sucker, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. I don't need that.
You always find something.
Yeah,
there's
something to do.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna read a book. I'm going to go walk the dog. I'm going to, you know.
Let the dog do let the dog go online.
Entertain me.
Yeah.
So we're getting more and more bored. I think we're just getting number, you know, because there's so much there. And it folds into that idea of when you have so many choices, it kind of sets up a little paralysis in your brain.
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of research on that. I mean, people ideally, if they have three choices, they can make a deliberative decision. But if you have too many choices, you just lunge for something.
Yeah,
so. I think that's what the Senate's going to do with Trump's appointees.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, whatever.
We got the underwater civilization to worry about. Yeah. We can't worry about Marco Rubio.
What the heck was that woman thinking? God, it's like a bunch of children. I know it sounds so patronizing, but it's true. It's like, do you understand that what would have to happen for this to be real? Do you get what pressure is all about in the ocean?
Well, it's like so many people thought that that Biden was controlling the hurricane and, yeah. and just
that guy can't walk across an uneven surface. I mean, how's he controlling the hurricanes? I don't know. Well, that's the thing too. I mean, there's so many different crazy views. They can't all be true. So just by sheer, you know, number and contradictoriness, you know, some of them have to be false.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they can't all be true together.
I think we need a flat earther in the cabinet. I mean, so, you know.
For NASA, I think would be perfect.
That'd be perfect.
You have to think like Trump things.
Then you wouldn't need rockets. You
could stick it to those guys.
You wouldn't need rockets. You could just drive to other planets. I can see somebody explaining that to Trump like buying it and going along with it. Go, yeah, that makes sense. So that's a lot cheaper.
What did you let me ask you. I'd say we weren't going to talk about politics, but I'm just wondering what you thought, because I kind of, my blood was boiling. What did you think about the president being so gracious to Trump?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
He's a Nazi. He's a white supremacist. Yeah. He's a rapist. He's a racist.
Acted like everything was just normal.
That's the problem. I mean, so many people, and then, you know, including like a lot of the major media are acting like, well, this is, you know, another election. All the Republicans won this one. And, you know, and it's like, no, this is different. This is totally different.
And he's telling you that overtly, and he's now communicating it through things like his appointments.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm screwing with everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why people think all the rules are still going to be in place. I mean, I understand why you have this temptation. You have this feeling. It's like, can we continue to do these things in the way we did them in the past? Because that's the way we're supposed to do it. Yeah. But we're at some kind of weird breaking point where we have to create new formations for rules, because whatever happened in the recent past is obviously not working.
Yeah. So, well, it's that saying that your institutions will not save you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but I mean, we've spent our whole lives, pretty much everybody in this country has spent their whole lives in a system that more or less works. I mean, you know, we could.
But institutions are just agreements. I have a bunch of money at home from countries that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That money is worth nothing. It only meant anything because everybody agreed it was money.
Right.
So the minute everybody says, well, I don't think that's.
Yeah.
I don't trust that institution. If enough people say that, the institution doesn't exist if they don't all agree to it.
Right.
It doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. It just goes away.
Well, that was what I was trying to say earlier. About the three-term thing for Trump. It's like they'll just ignore it, and you know, and it's kind of like, well, what are you going to do? You know, go ahead and try to stop me.
Yeah,
and especially now we have these people are lawless. I mean, they don't care about, you know, whether they're breaking the law or not. I mean, it's a microcosm, but it was the little thing when they went to Arlington Cemetery to do a photo op, and this employee there tried to stop them because it's illegal and it's disrespectful. Sure. And they actually got in a shoving match with her. And, you know, of course, it's a woman, so they're shoving her around.
Right, of course.
And but that's in a nutshell, the mentality. And it's like, oh, I don't care if this is illegal. You know, it's like all the corruption in the first administration with the constant violations of the Hatch Act.
Yeah.
And people would bring it up, and then it would be like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, again, if you can't shame people, there has to be a background of social conventions that the people that you're trying to shame accept.
Yeah.
And as you just pointed out, it's pretty obvious that some of those are not being accepted.
Well, I remember that from the Act 10 protests here. People would go into the Capitol and chant shame, shame at the legislators, and they'd... That's pointless because they don't feel any shame.
Yeah, they're like, eat my shorts.
All right. There might be life on the Uranus moons. Did we talk about this before?
Not that planet.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
yeah,
we talked about like
Neptune or
Europa
something.
Or Titan or something.
Yeah, that their five biggest moons, they think, might not be dead inside. They've always thought they were just dead. But again, they might have oceans, that are liquid because of the tectonic activity and things like that.
Yep.
And so that's one of the most exciting things that's happened in the last, I don't know, however, when they first kind of came up with that idea.
Even if they only find microbes. I mean, people say, oh, you know, I mean, they're looking for aliens or something. Well, that's life, you know, I mean, and that tells you.
We're not going to find Mr. Spock on Europa or something.
Exactly.
But we might find a worm or something.
Yeah. I mean, even a worm would be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. So. But I mean, if you found, you know, if you found free-floating, you know, unicellular creatures or something like that, that would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it would show you that there's the floor plan of at least the local, you know, part of the galaxy is set up for life because it's that ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, it certainly seems persistent here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Right?
I mean, they find it in the weirdest, weirdest places.
Take the cicada. Well, if you birds are not going to win. I'm sorry.
Or under the ocean with those like the hot springs down there.
Yeah, thermophiles.
Yeah, it's like there's little things living there. Yeah, it's 400 degrees.
Right,
and it's like okay.
My favorite, of course, we've talked about them before, the tardigrades, the little creatures, microscopic creatures that basically can be desiccated and live in a state of suspended animation and just come back to life when things get wet again. You know, here we are.
Here's a shock. Alcohol use increased during the COVID pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And it remained elevated even after the pandemic, according to a large nationally representative study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine.
Yep.
Alcohol use rose by 20% during the pandemic. In 2020, 2022, the increases were sustained.
I assume that was married couples having to stay together and all day long. Just a guess.
I have a friend who, when she had to work from home, and then her partner was working from home too. Yeah. And she talked to me afterwards. She goes after a while, and she goes, "I found out he's a circle back guy. He tells people like when they're in a meeting, he goes, 'Well, let's circle back on that.'" Because that was always the thing that our boss did, and we hated it. And so she was just appalled that she found that her boyfriend was a circle back guy.
Companion and I discovered that we really like each other.
That was sweet.
It was, it was very fun. We would get up in the morning and have breakfast together, and he'd go to the study, and I'd set up a desk in the dining room, and he was like, "Okay, see you later. See you for lunch." You know, got along really well.
Hey, we had a bunch of people sent us the story on the escaped monkeys.
Oh yeah,
and over the last couple of weeks, I think there were like 43 of them. I think they found something like 27 or something, somewhere in that range. Yeah. And so they're finding the lost monkeys, but the other ones are out having a good time, probably on a riverboat or something. Smoking cigars.
Oh, you bet. So this is an interesting little tidbit. I don't know why this fascinated me, but it did. So in Indonesia, there's a tribe of people that live there who speak a language called Siasia. It's an indigenous language. And like many languages in the world, it has no script. It's survived orally for a very long time. But they decided they would like to basically create a script for it. And so interestingly enough, you know, many languages that are transcribed into a script are transcribed into like Latin letters and stuff. But the people who were doing this, they looked at a language that or a set of transcriptions that they thought were the closest to what they wanted. They picked Korean.
Really?
So they took the Korean alphabet and they basically took that and said, "This is what we're going to use." And so they originally tried Arabic script. Because it's sort of similar in terms of how the syllables are spaced, but it couldn't be transliterated well into the Roman alphabet. So they looked around and they invited some folks from different countries, and two academics from South Korea came, and they said, why don't you try our script?" And they said, "You know what? We will." So that was a nice little
very cool
little gift from Korea to this group in Indonesia. You can have our script.
U.S. nuclear submarine entangled in Norwegian fishing net.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The Norwegians caught a nuclear submarine.
Oh, it's a big one.
Slice it up and put some lye on it and bury it in the backyard.
Yahey.
I don't have any details because I clicked on the headline here and it came up in Norwegian. So I'll have to, if you're in Stoughton, give me a call. Maybe you can translate it for us. But,
They're picking a new Archbishop of Canterbury in England. It's a very long, involved, and crazy process. But you'll be surprised why the present Archbishop decided, the 106th Archbishop of Canterbury, why he decided to resign. Can you imagine?
Does it involve children?
Yes.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Not him personally, but basically
cover up.
Knowing it and covering it up.
Yeah.
So even in the Church of England, they've got this problem. So.
All right. Well, we can run out of time here. I do want to float an idea, though. I was thinking about the Statue of Liberty, which really doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, you bet.
And I'm thinking, at first I thought we should send it back to France.
Okay.
But then I thought, even better, let's re-gift it.
Re-gift it.
Let's find a country that we can package it up and pretend it's new.
Okay.
And say, look what we got
you. A country that might actually want immigrants to come
here. Yeah, we got this big statue of a lady, and she's got a torch and stuff.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
So, re-gifting.
It's the season for re-gifting.
So. Exactly. So, all right, we got to get out of here. Time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Pants, was great to see you.
Thank you, buddy.
El Serpentine is doing Who Cooks For You next here. So stick around for that after the kiosk. And have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. It is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
This is the Incision Radio Kiosk for Friday, November 15th.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1919. That was the day that federal agents stormed the offices of the Industrial Workers of the World in New York City. They were looking for evidence connecting the organization to radical communists or anarchists. The ransacked office was part of the infamous Palmer Raids. When Attorney General Alexander Palmer responded to the growing Red Scare hysteria by raiding the offices of leftist organizations and arresting thousands. Hundreds of immigrants to the United States were deported during the raids without legal due process. The 1917 Russian Revolution had stoked fears about a spreading communist threat. Newspaper headlines helped to drum up public panic. A week before the IWW raid, a headline on the front page of the Evening World, published in New York City, declared, "Reds in U.S. plotted revolution. Deportation for all radicals." The day after the IWW raid, a Washington Post headline read, "Law to crush Reds." Writing in 1920, Attorney General Palmer warned, quote, "The chief appeal communism makes is